Home for us is not bricks and mortar. Home is the five of us, wherever we are.
It's somewhere where you feel at peace.
Home is a place in the mind.
So much has been written about what home is or should be.
Home is not where you live, but where they understand you.
A home is something we all need, and yet it's many things to many people.
I think it's the thing of being at home with someone.
Home is happiness, really, isn't it? It's kind of being around family, having things close to you.
For lots of us, the dream is to own our own home. A haven for our family, filled with warmth and love, and a place to be happy. But we're about to hear from a man who thought he'd found the dream home for his family.
The house was beautiful, and it was the back garden for the kids that really enticed us.
But after just 2 blissful weeks in the house, that dream turned into a 5-year journey through hell that almost cost him his relationship, his family, and his life as he knew it.
The whole experience has scarred us. I mean, it's a scar that will probably never go away.
It all started back in 2006 when Damien was living in a cramped Celtic Tiger apartment with his partner.
We had had our second child at the stage, so we decided that it was too small and that we'd try and go for a house.
But because of their poor credit history, they didn't qualify for a mortgage from a high street bank.
So we went to a broker who told us that he could get us the mortgage and it would be subprime.
Did you even know what that was?
I had a fair idea that you'd pay more, but it was kind of presented to us that it would be a stepping stone to, you know, do it for a year, 2 years, and then you'll be able to go to a reputable bank.
He was also promised that after about 2 months, he'd be switched over to an interest-only mortgage, which would drastically reduce his monthly payments.
I was kind of told that would be in around €600 off the mortgage, which was the first installment was, I think, around €1,700.
That was a lot of money for Damien, but the interest-only promise seemed attractive. So they went for it and bought their dream home in a small town on the commuter belt.
The house was beautiful. It was a huge 4-bedroom detached house in the middle of a kind of nice, newish estate. Our first night in the house, we didn't have carpet or anything or furniture or whatever else. And myself and my partner kind of just, we were walking around different doors. Just amazed at the space in the place. It was actually probably the best night in the house because we just didn't know what to do with this. We just kept walking indoors, outdoors, can't believe this, da, da, da. We were in dreamland for about 2 to 3 weeks.
After which, things went sour very quickly. Because the reality was, after paying the mortgage and the bills, there was very little left over to actually live on. Damien was banking on his broker coming through with the promise that he'd be switched to an interest-only mortgage and that he'd save €600 a month. So he called his broker to see how soon that could happen.
I was actually driving down the N4 with family in the car and I had this guy on speakerphone.
And what he told him was, instead of saving €600 per month, he'd save just 60.
I literally had to stop the car. I pulled the car, crossed the road, stopped it, and I didn't know what to do. Heart absolutely sank. And then you're thinking to yourself, is it going to be a year? If they told us a lie there as well, is it going to be 2 years before we can go to another bank? I can't even describe anger, bewilderment, every sort of emotion, but just couldn't believe. Just one of those feelings of, what am I going to do now?
After you paid off the mortgage, how much did you have left to live on?
It was probably about maybe 500 a month. But then we had to add in the diesel cost at that stage as well, which was significant as well when you're doing that every day to go to work. The synopsis of the next 3 years was just missing payments and the mortgage. I think the electricity was cut off twice. The first time it was probably about 3-4 days. I mean, we had the family up one Christmas. Obviously, we didn't pay a bill to not get the stuff for Christmas. And then you're sitting there for the week before praying that they don't turn off the heat when your family come up. Stuff like that, yeah, it was stressful, you know.
And how were the kids? Did you manage to sort of keep it from them that you were worried about things?
Earlier we were in the situation, but as it went on, there was open arguing in front of the kids. I mean, towards the end, they kind of knew what was going on. Me and my partner were at the brink of just walking away from each other, just arguing about, you know, really literally I can remember arguing over €5. Or why did you buy this? Why did you buy the expensive chips or whatever it was down there? And it was really like that. It was just every penny was just argued over.
One of Damien's sons suffered from asthma and the tight budget made doctor's visits difficult.
So, I mean, I suppose the embarrassment of actually going into a doctor's office, getting the child examined and telling the doctor that you couldn't pay him, you'd have to pay him the next time because we didn't have it. And he would have some bad attacks where you'd have to go and buy inhalers and different types of inhalers and stuff like that, and they weren't cheap. So literally, I suppose your kind of budget for the week, some weeks what would be gone on the prescriptions alone. We couldn't do anything about it. There was no money there. The mortgage had to be paid. And as I say to you, the only time when you kind of got away from that was, you know, on a Saturday night, we could go down and get a few beers, maybe turn on some movie or something and just get lost for 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday night.
And as the months went on, Damien and his partner were sinking deeper into debt. The property market had crashed and they were in negative equity, so selling up wasn't an option. But after about a year of this, Damien decided to take things into his own hands.
So I started making phone calls to this mortgage company. I tried to explain my case with the broker that, you know, we were kind of told something that we weren't supposed to be told, or there was a promise there that shouldn't have been made. I asked him what could be done and is there any way they could lower it? And the answer was always kind of no. I think I'd called them every week, once a week, for 2 years. I never let it drop. I'd sit on the phone with them for as long as they talked to me. It is the worst sort of stress I've ever had.
Eventually, things got so bad that Damien stopped paying the mortgage altogether. Until one day, it seemed the problems were solved.
A letter, this magical gold dust, arrived, which stated that they would let me sell the house for $170,000 and that I could walk away from the mortgage. I cried. Well, I'll never forget it. I cried. Absolutely. He was choked up now thinking about it. I just sat down and cried. And I gave it to my partner and she just still wouldn't believe it. And then it was great joy for a day or two. And then I realised, hold on, I've got to sell the house. Oh, here we go again. So what we done was, we got it put up in the market. And there was nobody coming near it for that price.
And it stayed like that for 6 months. Finally, there was an offer. But it was $40,000 less than the bank agreed. Damien spent the entire summer on the phone trying to get the bank to agree to the new deal. But after what had seemed like a reprieve, Damien was back where he started, facing repossession and a debt hanging over him.
During that time, we made the decision that we're not staying in the house. It's too much bad memories, too much stress. We just couldn't stay in the house. All we wanted to do was come home to where we were from, in Dublin.
A relative allowed them to stay in his house for free. And when they moved back to Dublin, something big became clear. Damien and his family had been dazzled by having a spacious new home. But what they hadn't realised was that a home is more than just a shelter. And without a supportive network of family and friends, all that space can be incredibly constricting.
We were isolated, yeah, we were. That was always part of it. We all moved out down the commuter belt because it was something that we could afford. I didn't know when it was going to stop. If I did know, I would never have left. And I'd say there's thousands of people like that. I mean, we just seen the house, we just seen the back garden for the kids. We went on what we were told. We were hugely naive and stupid. And I don't blame anybody, people that say, well, you know, it's your own fault, you saw it on the dotted line. I'll agree with them on that. But we were fed so much misinformation. And naive, absolutely, we were stupid.
But after so much heartache, Damien finally had a stroke of luck. One of his friends advised him to see a solicitor in Dublin who'd been successful in negotiating deals with banks.
And I remember the next call I got, one of the guys over there called me up. And this was only 2 days later after the bank told us no. He called me up and he says, look, I'm going to take care of this. I've seen the letter. We'll take care of this. You relax. Do what you have to do. Take out the kids for the weekend. Go to the movies. Sit back, relax. We'll handle this.
And he did. Damien had bought the house for £315,000 and a solicitor managed to convince the bank to sell it for £130,000 and to write down the remaining debt. That was back in 2011. And as it turns out, Damien was one of only a few people who'd been able to make this type of deal with banks.
You must have had your faith in humanity completely restored.
I was actually thinking about that this morning when I knew you were coming over. For months, my faith in the whole thing was just destroyed. But he was completely restored. You know, and even the stories he was telling about other people when we were in there, that day when we signed off on that thing to end it all, he was telling the stories, you know, of banks, different banks not budging and people gone off to different countries and they're still looking for them for the debt and this kind of crazy carry on, like, you know. So we signed it and that was it. That was it. End of a 5-year nightmare. That's my mother and myself when I was a small baby. That's myself and my partner in Florida many, many years ago. That's my partner's father and my partner and her brother.
By the middle of 2013, Ireland's central bank stated that 100,000 mortgages were in arrears of 3 months or more.
Just more pictures of kids.
They're your kids?
Yeah.
And according to the support group Aware, financial stress and the recession have been linked to a surge in depression and anxiety.
Well, you dig up these photos, you know, you get these photo frames.
Yeah.
Damien now lives in a rented house in Dublin and he has 3 children.
So it's nice. It's nice and big. Again, we got lucky with it. The landlord is brilliant. And it's quite comfy.
The living room is large and airy, and it's filled with the props of family life. There are also several pairs of incredibly tiny football boots in the corner.
Compared to where we were, they have lots more available to the kids. You know, karate, boxing, football, soccer, rugby, you know, fun and games, taekwondo. There's so much on offer. Where we were, we're happy where we are. In heaven, is the way I describe it. We're not abundantly rich or anything. We've got enough to pay the bills and do something nice every so often. The kids are looked after. They're as happy as can be. I remember my eldest son's first parent-teacher report. My partner went into it and she came out crying. And I asked why she was crying. And the teacher explained when our son started in that school, in Dublin, he had zero confidence. The teacher had said that within the space of 3 months, she'd never seen a kid change as rapidly as he did. And we didn't know, that was a kind of heartbreaker. We didn't know it affected him. And I guess, I don't know, he's, like I said to you before, he's picked up on certain things. You know, maybe the fighting got to him as well. It's ingrained in you that you have to own a house. And it probably took something like this to happen to us to realise that it's not really the end all and be all, is it? Home is happiness, really, isn't it?